Well, tonight, the book of Esther, I encourage you to find your place there. You'll be able to walk through this teaching outline as well as we journey through this book. Why is the book of Esther unique? It's unique for this reason, that there's no mention of God's name in the book of Esther. And that's extremely unique when you study the scripture. But please understand, even though there's no mention of his name, the activity of God is throughout the book of Esther. And as we look at the book of Esther, we come to realize these things that relate very well to your life and to my life. And here they are. Life is hard. It doesn't take long to figure that out. Difficult times happen to us all. No matter how much money you have, status in life, difficult times just happen. And pain cannot be avoided. If you're going to breathe, in which you're going to live, you're going to go through life, and you're going to find yourself in some hard times and difficult seasons, and you're going to experience personal pain in life. Could be physical, could be relational, spiritual, many things in that. Just happens in life. But when you come to the book of Esther, here's something that we have to wrestle with and we have to walk through. When life is hard and when life doesn't make sense, those things happen with us. There are times it's just hard. There are times when life just doesn't make sense. When that is true, do you turn to God or do you turn away from God? And as you landscape the culture in which we live, life is hard, times doesn't make sense. You're going to find a group of people who are going to turn away from the Lord. They're going to say, he's not fair, he doesn't care, he's not interested in me, and they run the other way. But as we know through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you and I, when life is hard, doesn't make sense, we need to run to him, not run away from him. And we see this in the book of Esther. So here's what happened. God often works behind the scenes for our good. That's happening throughout the book of Esther. I could give you some other themes that the Lord is always working, oftentimes behind the curtain. I could talk about life isn't always going to be easy. That is so true, as we see from the life of Esther. And also, if you don't obey the Lord, he's going to raise up another person to do so. And so it doesn't depend upon you and me. We want to be obedient. But if for some reason we said, I'm just not going to obey the Lord, he'll raise up someone to carry out his purpose. I've just always encouraged us, as we see in the book of Esther very clearly, be prayed up when you show up. And Esther was prayed up. She was ready when she was before the king. Also, when you think about Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, just says that God is able to do abundantly beyond anything we can ask, think, or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, who is the Holy Spirit, to him be glory forever and ever in the church. Amen. As we understand that verse, we see that being lived out in the book of Esther. God can do way, way beyond anything we can ask, think, or imagine. We should never put him in a box. We should never put limits on him, because nothing is impossible with God. And then, as we see in the book of Esther, God brings beauty out of ashes. When it looks terrible and you think it can't get any worse than this, you see the movement of God in the activity of God, and he brings something beautiful out of that. And we're going to see much of that as we come to the book of Esther. For such a time as this. What a great word. Let's walk through this. Number one, it's expected that God's people would obey him, not mankind. Now let me qualify that. When I say it's expected that God's people would obey him, not mankind, you and I need to obey the laws of the land. But also you and I need to realize that we are citizens of heaven, not just on this earth. Again, we need to obey the speed limit. We need to do those things. But as you're going to see, there are going to be times in life when people are going to try to discourage you or persecute us from obeying the leadership of God. And we should always obey God. And we're going to see that in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 1, verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, delivered by the eunuchs. At this, the king became enraged, and his anger burned within him. When I think about that there, I think about, again, I've shared when I was in Asia one time, a believer, a brother in Christ, was going to translate for me in this session that I was doing over about 3 days. He had been persecuted. He'd been in the police station. They had threatened him. But he came to this point, and he said, what am I going to do? And I'm sitting in a vehicle with him, and he's taking his phone apart. And I ask him, are you sure you want to be with me the next 3 days? If they catch us, they find you, it could mean life, death for you. And he, again, looked at me with somewhat of humor, I imagine. I think he was serious, but he said, are you aware of the book of Acts? Absolutely I am. And he said, the book of Acts says, I must obey God rather than man. That's what I'm talking about. We obey the speed limit, but there are going to be times when people are going to persecute us, challenge us, and we have to be that faithful to the Lord. And here Vashti is coming and ultimately obeying God in that sense, we're going to see. So it's expected that God's people would obey him, not mankind. Number two, God calls his people to invest in the lives of other people. So as you and I think about that, I think about that sentence, God calls his people to invest in the lives of other people. I think about how important the church is because we invest in the lives of other people. When I think about the church, it's not just silos. It's not just we're living in isolation, but we're living in community. We're living in fellowship with one another, and we're to invest our lives in the lives of other people. Look at this text, Esther chapter 2, verse 7. He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, that's her name, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. It's a beautiful picture here of what a loving relationship is. Here is Esther. She's an orphan young girl. And then Mordecai, her uncle, takes her in as his own daughter. What a beautiful picture of investing his life into her life. As I think about that, you think, well, who should we be investing in? What about orphans? There are orphans throughout our country, around the world. How do we make an investment in their lives, just like Mordecai did with Esther? What about lost people? Are we investing any of our time with lost people? Not condoning their relationships, not condoning their behaviors, but they need a relationship with the Lord. And are we investing in relationships with someone who doesn't know Christ to see his or her life changed? What about new believers? Are we investing in new believers, those who are infants in Christ? Come alongside them and invest. That's what disciple making is about. Very much relational. So I want to invest my life into your life, help you grow and mature and develop in your walk with Christ. What about the next generation? Are we investing in preschoolers and kids and students? And to say, we want to make a relational investment in your life so that we can help you grow in Christ and understand what it means to follow him. Next June, we're looking at doing a mission project. And it's a mission project with students and adults. The desire is to see in that mission project, looking to do this project in St. Louis, do it together because there's something valuable about adults and students serving Jesus together. Building relationships, modeling healthy relationships, and investing in the lives of one another. You'll hear more details about that as we go along. But then what about widows and widowers? Straight out of the book of James. Are we investing in those who are widows, widowers, folks who are homebound, who would love to be here and can't be here? Are we investing in that, in those groups of people? One of the things that we're seeking to do with our deacon ministry, coming up on Sunday, October the 30th, it'll be the fifth Sunday. We will observe the Lord's Supper together that morning in the worship service. We'll take a piece of bread and a cup of juice and do the very thing that Jesus asked us to do and do this in remembrance of him, and we'll do that. But one of the things we're seeking to do with our deacon ministry that Sunday afternoon is to go out into our community to assisted living places and folks who are homebound in their homes who are members of our church and to go to them and share the word with them and lead them to observe the Lord's Supper together that day as individuals. And that's what the New Testament is talking about. And again, when you think about this principle, God calls his people to invest in the lives of other people. We want to invest in those who are able to come into this room, but we want to invest those who desire to be here who physically just can't do it. And it'll be a worshipful Sunday afternoon to sit down with people who love Jesus, who love this church, and to be able to take a piece of bread and a cup of juice and lead them to observe the Lord's Supper as the Lord commanded us. It'd be a beautiful, beautiful afternoon of ministry, what the Lord's called us to do. I was having lunch with a brother today, again, side of our steeple, young lady, probably near 40, who was serving us, and just asked her to say again, we're getting ready to return thanks for our meal. Is there any specific way that we can pray for you today? She got extremely emotional in that. And then she started sharing some things. And I said, I appreciate you being transparent with us. And she said, now, when are you going to do that? I said, well, if you're going to stand here, I'm going to do it right now. Amen. And so she stood right there by the table and knew her name, had the opportunity to call her name out in prayer, and just ask the Lord to bless her, her family, her needs, the things that she had talked about. And she was overwhelmed that we would do that today at lunch. And then here's the joy for me as pastor. And then I said, you know, I don't know if you're connected to a church or not. She said, not connected to any church. And I said, we're at First Baptist Church, which is literally right over here. You could see the steeple if we walked outside the building and could look that way. I invite you to come to us. 10:30 is our worship time. Gentleman I'm having lunch with, he's one of our Connect Group teachers. We'd love to get you connected to his class at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. She had a 2.5-year-old girl. We've got preschool ministries that would take care of your daughter. Everybody's been background checked. Everybody's been through ministry safe training. We have safety team members here. We take safety and security extremely serious here as a church. I said she'd have a wonderful time down there. And then she said this, and this is the joyous part for me. She said, you know, the Lord must be doing something because you are the third person this week who has invited me to come to First Baptist Church. I said, praise the Lord for that. I hope you hear that several more times before the week's over. I'm having lunch here again tomorrow. I pray the Lord leads me to her again because I'm going to invite her again tomorrow. But that's a wonderful thing to hear. That's investing in the lives of other people. And so invitational like that. And we see Mordecai doing that with this young girl named Esther. Number three. There comes a point when God's people must speak up. Now, let that sink in for a moment. There comes a point when God's people must speak up. Esther chapter 2, 21 through 23. In those days, as Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the threshold, became angry and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. It's King Xerxes, by the way, just a different name. And this came to the knowledge of Mordecai, and he told it to Queen Esther. Now, understand there comes a point when God's people must speak up. So Mordecai heard the news of what Bigthan and Teresh, what they were talking about. And so they were going to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And what does Mordecai do? Mordecai knows it. He tells it to Queen Esther. And what did Queen Esther do? Esther told it to the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated and found to be so, the men were both hanged on the gallows. And it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the presence of the king. There's a time when God's people need to speak up. And that's the case with Mordecai. Here's what I heard. Told it to Esther. Esther tells it to the king. Again, there are times you and I have to speak up. Let me say this about that as well. That when you and I speak up, we need to make sure when we speak, though, we speak in a spirit of love. But we also need, when we speak up in times like that, there's a ministry of restoration involved in that. But there's also a ministry of kingdom advancement in that. And so we need to make sure there comes a time when we need to speak up. What are we going to speak up about? I'm going to give you some of these. When it comes to sharing the gospel, you and I, we just can't be silent. When it comes to the person of Jesus, I would have not traded anything from being at Adult and Teen Challenge this morning to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ on a Wednesday morning. And it was a glorious time to do that. Wouldn't have missed anything at lunch today to talk to this young lady and to have a conversation with her. But we just can't be silent. We've got to speak about the gospel. We've got to be invitational, invite people to come and join us. And we've got to be willing to stand up and speak up. Here's another one. This is not easy. But somewhere we need to be willing to speak up when there's sin in a believer's life. And I say again, it's in love. It's about restoration. It's about kingdom advancement. It's not being judgmental. But there's just times we need to be willing to say to a brother or sister in Christ, let me come alongside you because your life, it's evident, is not living the way God wants it to be lived. I'm not being judgmental against you. I love you in Christ, and I want to see you be faithful to Christ. You know, we don't do that much in our day, but there comes a time when we can't be silent. We have to be willing to speak up. When there's division in the church, we need to be willing to speak up. And again, it's not being hard. It's not being judgmental. It's just caring about the things that God cares about. And somewhere we need to be willing to speak into that. When it comes to biblical morals and truths, we need to be willing to speak up. Here's what I'm afraid of at times in our culture. The world knows more what we're against than what we're for. And we need to be willing to speak what we're against, that's for sure. But somewhere we need to be willing to speak what we're for. Now, here's what God's Word says. Here's who Jesus is. And we need to be willing to speak. And then we need to be willing to speak for those who can't speak. There are many folks out there who just can't really speak. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent to speak. Nobody hears their voices. We need to be willing to speak for the unborn. We need to be willing to speak for folks who are at different places in life. And so there comes a time and a point when God's people must be willing to speak up. Again, it's not being judgmental. It's not being hard. We speak in the spirit of love, as Paul talked about to the believers at Ephesus, but we're willing to speak up because it's the right thing to do as the Holy Spirit leads. Number four, living faithful and obedient to Jesus Christ affects you and other people around you. When you live faithful and obedient to Christ, it's going to affect the people around you. Here's what I know. When you live faithful to Christ, it affects your family. When you live faithful to Christ, you're in school, it's going to affect people in your school. You live faithful to Christ, it's going to influence people in your workplace. You live faithful to Christ, it's going to influence people in the church, in public places. It's going to make a difference in their lives. Here's why. Because people are watching and listening to you and me. They're watching our actions. They're listening to what we're saying. People are paying attention to that. And so you're always on camera somewhere, by the way, as well. I just always be aware of that. Wherever you are, there's probably a camera on you somewhere. And somebody's sitting behind a screen watching what you're doing on that camera. And so when you walk around the facility, there are people looking at monitors, watching who's walking around the facility. So when you're around, just realize you're always gently on camera somewhere. So just be aware of that. But living faithful and obedient to Jesus affects you and people around you. Let me turn that around. Living disobedient and living unfaithful to Christ, guess what that does? It affects people around you and me. I want to make a difference in people's lives because living faithful and obedient, not disobedient and unfaithful. So words and actions. Look at this in Esther chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or pay homage to him, Haman was filled with fury. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone. So as they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. And so he's going to live unfaithful and disobedient, and it's going to influence the people around him. And so I just encourage us tonight, as you think about your walk, your relationship to Christ, live faithful to him, live obedient to him, because God is using your life to influence other people around you. Number five, God's activity is usually preceded by brokenness among his people. God's activity is usually preceded by brokenness among his people. Esther 4, verses 1 through 3, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He was a broken man. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one's allowed to enter into the king's gate, clothed in sackcloth, and in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and with many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. God's activity is usually preceded by brokenness among his people. When's the last time you and I just asked God to break you and me? Because we wanted to see the activity of God that great. Here's some things I would ask you. When you think about sin in your life, disobedience, when's the last time you've been broken over the sin in your life? When's the last time you and I have been broken over the sin in our nation? When's the last time we've been broken over the lostness in our own community? I mean, just broken for people because if life ended today, they'd spend eternity separated from Jesus forever and forever. Are we broken over lostness? When's the last time we've been broken over a lack of spiritual fruit? Just don't see fruit for some reason. Well, so we're broken over that. What about casual Christianity? When's the last time we've been broken over casual Christianity? People who are just living to Christ out of convenience. Oh, I'll follow him. I'll be there. If nothing comes up, nothing interferes, nothing's taking precedence over that, we'll do that. When's the last time we're broken over casual Christianity in the lives of people? But also, when's the last time we've been broken over disunity among God's people? When they just can't get along. There's division in the church. When relationships are broken and strained and there's tension there. When's the last time we've been broken over that? When we're broken, we'll see God move in great ways. And we're going to talk about pride here in just in a few minutes. But God's activity is usually preceded by brokenness among his people. Number 6, God calls his servants to seize the time and live courageous. God calls his servants to seize the time and live courageous. Esther 4, 14 through 17, just as we talked about this morning, life is a vapor. It's a mist. Appears for a little while and then vanishes. Make the most of your days, as Paul said to the believers in Ephesus. Esther 4, 14 through 17, for if you keep silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Remember, I made a statement earlier that Esther, if you don't obey the Lord, he'll raise up someone else to do that. And so that's the passage right there. If you keep silent, all relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. God's at work behind the curtain. He's moving. He'll raise up someone else. But you and your father's house will perish. Next page. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom. And here's the phrase, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And challenging Queen Esther. Or if you're silent, God's going to raise up someone else. But who knows? You come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God's at work in your life. He's put you in this position for a reason and for a season. Use your days for the glory of God. Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And notice this next phrase. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. For such a time as this, and if I go to the king, if I perish, I perish. Let me ask you these few questions. Are you seeking the Lord in your life? Seeking him as a first priority, seeking his direction, his guidance. Are you living courageous in your relationship with him? If I perish, I perish. If I face persecution, I face persecution. If I face criticism, I face criticism. Are you living courageous? And then, what is your walk with Jesus costing you? For Queen Esther, she was willing to give her life for that. I mean, Mordecai had invested in her life And the Lord was at work in her life, and you've come to this place for such a time as this. You fast and pray, and then I'm going to go before the king. If I perish, I perish. If it costs me my life, I'm going to do that. I'm going to stand in the gap and be a servant of the Lord to do that. Here's what I anticipate coming in our day. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, or you're also going to be a member of a church, you need to anticipate that difficult days are on the horizon. I think I just read something, and again, it's hard to remember everything you read, but I think I just read something about, was it somebody, a football coach or something, that was in Australia, that it came to be found out shortly after he was hired that he was a member of a particular church, and they released him, like a day or two after he was hired. See, some shaking their head, something like that. That's in Australia. And I just say again, be ready, because if you're going to be a follower of Christ, or you're going to identify yourself as a member of the body of Christ, the church, be ready to face some hard days because of that. It's hard for us to comprehend. But it wouldn't surprise me if those days aren't on the horizon for us. And that's where we've got to be willing to say, if I perish, I perish. If I'm persecuted, I'm persecuted. But I'm here. God's left me alive for such a time as this. And I'm going to be faithful to him. Number 7. Listening to the wrong people can yield fatal consequences. Listening to the wrong people can yield fatal consequences. Esther chapter 5 verse 14. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go joyfully with the king to the feast." This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. I just encourage you, listening to the wrong people can yield fatal consequences. Now, we'll get to Haman here in a moment. But here's what I would encourage you to make sure. Different ages here in the room tonight, different ages who will listen to this podcast in the days ahead, it's okay to see a Christian counselor. It's okay not to be okay in life. But I just encourage you, if you're going to sit down with someone who's going to counsel you, I would make sure you know something about that counselor's life. I would find out that counselor's personal testimony of knowing Christ. I'd find out that personal counselor's connection to a local church body. I'd find out the counselor's involvement in the fellowship of that church. How are you serving the Lord Jesus in that church? And then I'd find out how that counselor uses God's word in the context of counseling. You're not looking for sermons. You're not really looking for Bible studies. But you are looking for truth. The truth shall set you free. That's what Jesus said. And so when you sit down and you pour your life out to a counselor, do you know Christ? What church are you connected with? How are you serving the Lord? How do you use God's word? Because it matters who you pour your life out to and whom you listen to. Counselors are wonderful. It's just be careful who you sit down with. There's also wisdom in a multitude of counselors. We see that in the book of Proverbs. And here's what I would say. Again, if you're going to sit down with somebody and you're looking for direction and insight into your life, I would just encourage you to hear some things. Does this person, these people love Jesus? Are these people going to speak the truth in love to me in life? Are these people here to build me up or tear me down? What's their goal? It's going to say a lot. And does the person or people I'm going to share with, talk with, do they genuinely love me in Christ? The book of Esther gives us a great warning. Listening to the wrong people can yield fatal consequences. Wonderful to talk to people. We all need them. That's why we're in community together. But just make sure you're listening to the right people. It matters. Number 8, the truth that, and here's a pretty big phrase, pride goes before a fall remains true. The truth that pride goes before a fall remains true. Esther chapter 6, verse 6, so Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" Can you just see Haman's chest puffed out? This big smile on his face. Hey, I'm going to get honored here. I'm going to get praised here. Great things are coming into my life. So what should be done to the man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman said to himself, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? If there's ever a picture of pride, there it is. Esther chapter 6, verse 6. Pride for sure. And I can say this. The truth that pride goes before a fall remains true. I could share you many marriages that have collapsed because of pride. I could share many families that have been ripped apart because of a prideful spirit. Many careers that have ended because of pride. Many ministries that have come crashing down because of pride. Many reputations have been destroyed, lost. Why? Because of pride. Pride goes before a fall. Happened in Haman's life, happens in our day. Number 9, God calls his people to speak when he opens the door. Remember I said earlier somewhere, you got to just speak up. And so God calls his people to speak when he opens the door. Esther 7, 3 through 6, then Queen Esther answered, if I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish, and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent. For our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king. Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, who is he? And where is he? Who has dared to do this? God's opened the door. Who is this? Who are you talking about? The door has been opened. And what does Queen Esther do? And Esther said, a foe and enemy, this wicked Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. God calls his people to speak when he opens the door. And I just encourage you again tonight, share the gospel when he opens the door. You don't have to force it. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to push it open. When God opens a door, share the gospel. Share the story of Jesus. Practice accountability. When you see a brother or sister in Christ living a dangerous life, going down a dangerous road, and you know what the consequences are going to be, love for that person. Speak up. Speak the truth into that brother or sister's life in Christ. Again, out of a spirit of love, for sure. If you see division happening in the fellowship of the church in some way in a relationship, speak up. Walk around with buckets of water, not cans of gas. Address that. Speak into that. And say, it's not healthy. This is not what God desires. Speak into that. God calls his people to speak when he opens a door. Number 10, it's important that promotions come from God's activity, not from man's agendas. It's important that promotions come from God's activity and not from man's agendas. Esther 8, 1-2. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Mordecai didn't try to pursue that. God just made it available for him and it came his way. It was from God's activity, not man's agenda. Rely on the Holy Spirit in life. If you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you must rely on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can't do that on your own. I've been able to see this. I've been able to see churches that have grown extremely, extremely large. And they grew in many ways because of programs or personalities. But we want to see the church grow because God is the one who's growing the church. It's based on biblical truth. Obedience to Christ. He's changing the lives of people. Number 11, God's sovereignty reveals his personal protection. God's sovereignty, he's in control. God's sovereignty reveals his personal protection. Esther 10, verse 3, for Mordecai, the Jew, was second in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with a multitude of his brothers. For he sought the welfare of his people and spoke peace to all his people. Now, who is the hero in the book of Esther? We're going to do a sermon series coming up starting on October the 23rd on the book of Jonah from the Old Testament. But who is the hero in the book of Esther? I want you to know tonight, even though he's not mentioned by name, the hero of the book of Esther is not Mordecai. The hero in the book of Esther is not Esther. And the hero in the book of Esther is not King Ahasuerus. The hero in the book of Esther is the Lord God Almighty. Even though he's not named, he's at work behind the scenes, behind the curtain, orchestrating the lives of people. Here's the challenge, and I'm going to pray and finish. The hero of our salvation stories, it's not us, it's the Lord Jesus. Because you have to realize, before we were saved, we weren't just sick. The Bible says we were dead in our sins. But because of Jesus, his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, we have been made alive in Christ. He's the hero of our stories. We're the recipients of his amazing grace. And we have every reason to praise him for his new life that we have in Christ. He's the hero of our stories. That's true in the book of Esther. The Lord God Almighty is the hero of the book of Esther. Let's pray together tonight. God, I thank you for walking through a very significant book in a short amount of time. But Father, I pray tonight that we'll understand that you are the hero of our stories. And at times, even though we don't see you, your work behind the scenes, behind the curtain. And God, thank you for orchestrating the events of our lives to accomplish your good, perfect, and pleasing will. And the glory goes to you. Thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, for gathering with our church family, worshiping together and studying together, and adoring you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.